Welcome back to Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. Shortly after last fall's election, there was a rash of open letters from various groups within the science community. Some were asking for climate policy, others were asking for multicultural diversity, and others just wanted science to be part of the policy conversation. One such letter came from a group that calls themselves 500 Women Scientists. That name quickly became a misnomer as more than 10,000 women scientists signed the letter in a matter of weeks. Some 4 months later, nearly 17,000 women scientists have signed the letter. Not only that, they've created a nationwide network of organizations they call PODs. One is located right here in Woods Hole. And they're having their first meeting this Wednesday on International Women's Day. What are they hoping to accomplish? Well, joining me now is Sue Natale. She's an associate scientist at Woods Hole Research Center, and she started the Woods Hole chapter of 500 Women Scientists. Sue, always good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Heather.
And also with us is Johanne Peltier. She's a postdoctoral scientist at Woods Hole Research Center. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Heather. Thank you for having us.
Now, Sue, what inspired you to sign the 500 Women Scientists letter in the first place?
I signed the letter because I felt that our current administration was directly attacking both women and scientists. And so on the one hand, I took that personally. And in addition to that, I also feel like by not elevating science, not making science-based decisions, by excluding certain members of society from those decisions, we're a weaker society. So I felt like it was important both for myself and then as well as for our community.
Now, signing the letter is one thing, but it's actually a 7-point pledge of action, which I guess when I was first reading this letter a few months ago, I was thinking, oh, well, this is asking signatories to kind of take action in their own careers, in their daily lives, to promote and support diversity, equity, and science. When you signed, did you think that this would be turning into starting a local group and kind of being part of an organization?
When I signed it, I intended to join a group. And I went to the Women's March, and I left that feeling very strongly that I had to take action because I didn't think signing and marching were enough. And I think that was the goal of many people who were involved in those activities. So recently I felt like I needed to, you know, join this group. And I went onto the 500 Women Science webpage and realized there wasn't a group. And one of the nice things about that organization is it's very easy to start a group. You know, they provide the structure for you. It basically happened at a click of a button. And all of a sudden, I was the organizer of this group, which is wonderful.
One of the great things about the web, but maybe one of the dangerous things about the web. Johanne, as far as I can tell, you have not actually signed the 500 Women Scientists letter. Is that correct?
Yes, it's true.
Is there a particular reason?
No, I've signed other letters. There's no particular reason, but I want to get engaged, not necessarily by signing it or just by meeting women scientists and build a community to discuss issues that are relevant to advancing women's role and contribution in science and identify barriers to advancement and try to find solutions and activities to move forward.
Now, you are from Quebec, and yes. We've talked on this show in recent weeks about the experience that Canadian scientists had under the Harper administration and how that perhaps parallels what a lot of American scientists are experiencing or expect to experience under the Trump administration in terms of funding cuts and not the kind of respect for science. Prime Minister Harper actually eliminated his science advisor position. There were a number of other programs that were cut. I wonder, as a Canadian, if you feel like you bring a particular perspective to what's going on in terms of the political involvement of scientists in the United States right now.
Well, I think that definitely in Quebec, I think there's always a debate to move issues related to science and women. It's open to the discussion always. And I think, well, mostly the effect of Harper was in governmental scientists and in terms of funding. But I think generally it's important to just be united, especially under a government like this, to create links and community to react and have activities that people can express their voice.
Now, Sue, you mentioned the the Women's March. There's also an upcoming March for Science. And a couple of weeks ago, there was also a rally in Boston in Copley Square, a Stand Up for Science rally. And we had a couple of the speakers on the show the following day. Both of them are postdoctoral scientists. And they both observed that they feel like there's a bit of a generation gap in what's going on right now, that they both felt as younger scientists that they were kind of pushing their mentors and the senior scientists that they were in relationships with. So I wonder, you're in this case the more senior scientist. You've started this organization. Do you see that same generation gap, or do you think this is more equitably distributed across the career scale?
It's hard for me to see in this organization particularly what the generation gap is, because we have yet to meet. So hopefully we won't have that. Hopefully, I do know, though, when I think about my mentors and the women that I know who are speaking out, it certainly runs across academic generations. So I haven't experienced that myself in terms of the women who I see as mentors. Now, I may be targeting a subset of women. So the women that I surround myself, I can think of a range of ages. So hopefully this group, you know, there certainly are a number of early career scientists, but we also have some senior scientists that have been involved. So hopefully that we can span the generations.
Johan, how important is it to you as a younger scientist to have a mentor who's pushing on these issues?
It is very important. I've been looking for a female mentor. My PhD supervisor was a woman. And coming here, I was looking to work also with a woman because I want to learn from their experience as individual, as women in science. So there's also this learning that I find very important. And I also find it inspiring and good for confidence. Okay, they did it. I can do it too, you know.
I mean, we know empirically that it can be really important for women to have other women as mentors, especially in the sciences where we see so many women that leave the field kind of early and midway into their career. But I also wonder if, you know, the agenda, this pledge of action for 500 women scientists is promoting equity and diversity, not just gender, but cultural and racial diversity within the sciences. Why specifically women scientists? Why not, you know, make this kind of effort just 500 scientists working for equity and diversity?
That's a good question. I think the women that I've worked with and the women that are active women and in promoting, you know, women and diversity in science tend to have a very strong interest in promoting community and have a broad understanding of social equity. So this group, you know, to make a safe place, core part of the group will be women. I imagine that we'll have activities that will be open to the broader community, but I think it's important to create a space where women feel safe and feel confident to take leadership roles and to encourage them to take those leadership roles.
So what kinds of things? You've got this first organizational meeting coming up this week, very appropriately on International Women's Day, of course. What kinds of things are you thinking you might tackle or try to take on within the community?
Right. So part of that will be decided at the meeting. And I hope that a lot of women from the community come out to give their input. This is our first organizational meeting. So I am the leader of the group, but I see myself more as a facilitator and hoping to have a room full of leaders. There's three broad goals that I see. One is supporting women in science. The second is outreach and education, so increasing scientific literacy. And then the third is policy engagement. So I'd like to think of activities that we can participate in that will address each one of those goals. And those are goals that are part of the larger mission of 500 women scientists.
So what's the relationship there between the national organization and these local chapters, pods, whatever they're calling them? I mean, do they kind of hand you an agenda and say, here's what we'd like you to do? Or is this much more of a ground up kind of thing?
They're providing support. So they're providing communication, they're providing materials. There's a network of communication, of online communications with other facilitators. They're not providing us an agenda, but there is the structure and there is the letter of support. And within that framework, our activities are activities that we choose as a group.
We've already talked a little bit about the Women's March, which you did say you participated in. There's this upcoming March for Science, and kind of the idea put forward by both groups organizing those is that these are nonpartisan marches and demonstrations in support of a very broad idea, the inclusion of women and equality of women, the inclusion of science in policy. Do you think it's really possible in this day and age to be nonpartisan and political at the same time?
I think science should be nonpartisan. And I think if it's not nonpartisan, it's because certain policymakers have chosen to make it nonpartisan. But I think that scientists still need to be political and bring science to policymakers so that policymakers can make decisions based on the best science.
Johan, as not an American citizen watching this and participating in this, what's your sense of the kind of political involvement of scientists?
Well, I think it's very important, but still, I think it's important to value as science as information for decision making. But as individuals, scientists have a role to express their view, but not necessarily in their own profession.
Wednesday, International Women's Day. You guys are obviously marking it with this event in one regard, but there's been this idea of a day without women that to mark International Women's Day. I wonder, would either of you ever consider participating in a day without women? Do you think what would happen at Woods Hole Research Center if the women just didn't show up?
It'd be very quiet. Research Center.
But you think, I mean, what's the distribution at Woods Hole Research Center? Is it different, you think, than most organizations? Are there more women there?
I'm not sure. I mean, we're 50%, about 50-50 male, female. But the scientists, I will say, at the PI level, we're less than 20% women. So there's a lot of support staff and a lot of junior scientists, not at the PI level, that are women.
Well, that's one interesting thing that I noted about your event on Wednesdays is it specifically says not only open to, you know, scientists that are in the field and in the lab, but open to women in all science-related careers, especially education and administrators. Kind of a nod to the fact that there are a lot of women in various different roles in science, not just at the bench.
Yeah, and we rely on these women to do our science, and we rely on these women to get our science out there into the community. So I definitely want this to be open to all women STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, as well as women who support the STEM fields.
Well, Sue Natale is an associate scientist at Woods Hole Research Center and founder of the Woods Hole chapter of 500 Women Scientists. Joanne Pelletier is a postdoctoral researcher at Woods Hole Research Center. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Heather.
Reminder, the Woods Hole chapter of 500 Women Scientists is holding their first meeting at Woods Hole Research Center, 7 p.m. this Wednesday. And as we just said, the event is open to all women in science-related fields, including educators and administrators. You can find links to more information on our website, capeandisland.org. You can also find Living Lab Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next week, this is Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab is produced by Heather Goldstone and Elsa Partan. Mindy Todd is the executive producer. Major support for Living Lab comes from the Candida Fund, furthering the values that contribute to a healthy planet.